Today on Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we're talking about healing. What are the different healing modalities out there? Are you aware of what still needs to be healed? Do you know you need to heal, but not sure where to start? Learn tips for healing as we wrap up our month focusing on starting over. Do you control your clutter, or does your clutter control you? On Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out, we'll teach you awareness as well as action steps to create change in your life. Come on, let's get started. Today's episode was inspired by all of my years of doing healing work. You can heal from anything. I truly believe that. Even from the most horrific things. And I hope today inspires you to heal, to take care of yourself. And know it's a process. I'm always going to be healing. And I wanted to talk today because if you're starting over, healing really gives you the ability to do that. I believe in every moment you can start over. But healing allows you to get rid of all that's holding you back. It allows you to move forward. It allows you to be inspired. It allows you to bring out your gifts. It's a process. You're stronger than you think. I've said this before, but it bears repeating. I don't think I said it this month. When I did my healing work, especially in the beginning for the most things that, at least from this lifetime, were most challenging, and I interviewed hundreds of people and they all said the same thing. It takes more energy to hold back the trauma and things you're worried about than to actually go for it and release it. And I really, after I started the process, I was like, wow, why did I wait so long? So I just give that for food for thought. If you've like, you know what, I know I have to deal with something, I'm afraid. First of all, you'll have support around you if you need to. You're stronger than you realize, and you can get through it. Nothing, it takes you way more energy to hold it back than to putting your feet through the fire. It allows you to simply move forward. Really? Isn't that what it's about? Taking action, moving your life. And when we don't heal, well, first of all, it always finds a way to come out. It always finds a way to come out, and usually at inappropriate times. And so if you're like angry a lot or a lot of anxiety, look to what needs to be healed. If you, for example, haven't healed past relationships, then it's not going to allow you to bring someone new into your life. It may be you still can bring someone anew, but you're probably going to have the same pattern. You're going to probably repeat the same mistakes. You're probably going to, excuse me, lessons learned. You're probably going to have the same challenges. And if it didn't work out with the previous relationship, there's a good chance it won't work again, or you end up sacrificing something of yourself. And that's not a way to be in a relationship. That's not going to truly make you happy. If you don't heal, you can create clutter. Take a moment to think about all the ways you've created clutter in your life by not healing. Remember, you want to look at everything: physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, energetic, health, relationships, finances. Take a moment. Where have you created clutter because you haven't healed? When we aren't healing, it affects everything in our lives. So spend some time, maybe jot down some information. How do you think not healing has created clutter for you? Why don't you heal? Why don't we heal? All of us have stuff to heal. I'd say the biggest thing, based on my experience working with people and from all the interviews I did, is we're afraid of what we'll discover. Some of us have had to deal with some pretty heavy stuff that's not pleasant, that we wouldn't wish on anyone else. And so we have that fear. I know that's what the fear was for me. Oh my gosh, if I unleash this. And for me, for working on my biggest trauma, it came in stages. I was doing the Clear Sight program, And after a 14 month program, and I'm doing the program, and in conjunction, you have to do some energy healing classes with that. And I was able to say, oh, this is what happened to me. This is what's going on. And I was able to articulate it, not have my head explode. Now I joke about that, but at any other point in my life, it was such a wow moment that I had to be in a state where I could accept it. And doing all that healing, doing all that clearing allowed me to get to that point. And so when I was like, okay, this happened, and I could come from it from a more neutral place. And so that's why every little thing that you do to heal yourself, like clearing your clutter, that's contributing to it. The inside reflects the outside. That's why I'm so passionate about this. And that's why I want a revolution of people clearing clutter. It's all contributing to your healing. I want you to remember that. Nothing is small, nothing is insignificant. So a lot of the times it's a fear of what we'll discover, and know that other people have experienced what you have, maybe not exactly, I'm sure, in the exact way that you did, but they have experienced something similar. So you can find support out there. Is it always easy? No. But I believe this, and I think anyone else who is healed will tell you the same thing. It's worth it in the end. It takes a lot of energy to hold it back. And so you really don't realize until you've started the healing process how long you've been holding on to things. And I had my chiropractic adjustment yesterday. I'm getting ready to travel. I'm going to go do another one today. And I was like, oh man, ay, 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 in my neck. Good God. It seems like every little vertebrae in that cracked. It was huge. But it just reminded me, because we store everything in our bodies, what have I been holding on to? And that's why it's important for me to heal my body physically, as well as tackle it from an energetic perspective, a mental perspective. It's all related. Even if it's painful, it's still comfort. It's still what you know. It's normal. And so sometimes we get into this concern that if I heal it, well, what's going to happen? My life's going to change. And it's not so great now, but I know it. It's familiar, right? I'm sure we all know someone and you think, wow, why are you still in that relationship? Ugh. But it's become comfortable for them. It is known to them. And so it's kind of the status quo. And, you know, a lot of times people don't want to disrupt it. So that's maybe why someone's choosing not to heal. I've also known people that have a fear that if they heal, they're going to lose their creativity. Right? That, you know, kind of the disorganized, messy people I've seen who are like, oh no, I'm afraid that if I get organized and clear my clutter, I won't be able to create. I think that's a complete fallacy. That's my take on it. And I respect that not everyone believes that. But sometimes there's this fear, like from pain. I was reading something the other day and someone said, oh man, I was listening to this musician and he produce these songs like from the depth of a relationship that didn't work, and it was beautiful. And then, but then he never healed, and this, you know, just kept being all this ugh. And I'm like, didn't want to listen to him anymore. There wasn't any moving forward. There wasn't any healing. So you might be think, if I heal, I'll lose my creativity. I don't believe that. I believe it opens you up. I didn't write in my books until after I'd done a lot of healing. And I think I've mentioned I'm working on one now, the two books that I want to do on my own personal journey, which I hope to start next year. I couldn't have started those because I was not in a good space, and I was still really angry at people. And I'm like, how's that going to support others? If I need to share my journey that's positive and how I've healed from it. And I haven't healed completely from this. And that, you know, anything I'd write would be garbage. Now, I did, when things were happening, really wrote some stuff out, and that'll really serve of getting at the heart of the emotion. But if I were to write a book about my experience, I'd be like, I don't want to approach that. I want to give something that's going to support and say, hey, I've been through this too. You can survive it. And I'm writing this book because I don't want to see it happen to you. So here we're kind of the danger, Will Rogers sign. you might be afraid that you'll be judged or that something bad will happen. If you say have abuse in the family and you're going to stand up and say, wow, my parents were abusers and mine were not. I just want to make that really clear. And you might lose family. You know, dysfunctional families, we talk about that all the time. They're dysfunctional for a reason. So sometimes it might be harder to stand up and call something out than to lose family. And again, no judgment on this. It's where people are. Because you might think a crap family is better than no family. And some people don't have the resources for support. When I share all this, I do it also with the understanding and the empathy that not everyone might have access to things. And there's sometimes, if you're always able to support or help someone and be that mentor, be that shining light, sometimes people are in a place they just can't move forward. And I get that. I've been in that place in my life and have fortunately had a good support system around me. I'm reasonably intelligent and can figure things out. And so there's no judgment as I say this, but if you're listening to the podcast or watching on YouTube, you probably have access to some resources. You might not heal because you might be afraid of being rejected, right? I mentioned that a moment ago, that what if your family would reject you? Or if you were to say in a relationship, hey, this isn't working, how can we improve this? And you're afraid, oh, then they're like, well, take it or leave it. That can be scary. Of course, that's understandable. And not just in a relationship. You might be afraid that you'll be rejected by your peers or your colleagues or society. You just never know. Or putting your work out there and having it mocked. You know, people on the internet can be cruel. So that might be why you've hesitated to heal. And a big one, uncertainty. If you heal, what's life going to look like? There's no guarantee, right? You don't know. Like, I haven't healed before. Is it just going to be the same old, and I do all this? I would argue that it won't be and that your life will change. But uncertainty, we don't know what's going to happen. I mean, the reality is, as my first ever teacher said, the future is written in pencil. There is just about everything out of your control except for you and your actions and what you think and feel and all that good stuff. So uncertainty is just kind of a part of life, but it's understandable that you just might be, oh, I'm not sure about this. What if I do this? What will be the consequences? Again, I would say compare it to how you are now. I haven't seen anyone whose life has gotten worse than after they've healed. Now, it's not to say that you won't come up with challenges. Again, like if you're standing up to a family or you're standing up to an abuser, that has all of that other stuff going on. But ultimately, when you find the strength to do that, you know, I was talking about the lawsuit the other day with someone and standing up for that. In the past, I would have never done that. But that's saying, you know what, you can't do this to me. And that was a part of my healing, saying, you know what, I have no problem speaking my mind. I have no problem walking around the neighborhood. Easier to dislike me and blame everything on me than to create change or stand up for themselves. And, you know, they won't do that until it happens to them. But that was part of my healing. So that's what I have to look at. You know, people are like me, oh, well, I'd rather heal myself. I'd rather learn how to stand up for myself in a big way than not heal. And that's probably, I don't like confrontation. And that's probably one of my hesitations for not doing it earlier. Remember that dis-ease, that's what Louise Hay calls it instead of disease, dis-ease are about your emotions and it's all related to stress. It's repressed emotions. She has a great little book if you have a certain thing you're going through, and she has an affirmation and explains where it comes from. So when we don't heal ourselves, we're keeping that in our body. I did my Monday meditation last night. And we did this great one, and Judy went through and cleared out all the chakras and all the layers within the chakras. And what was so great about it is she reminded us what the gunky, how it gets gunked up and like taking on other people's stuff, or when we don't in the throat express how we feel and suppress that. You know, I had half my thyroid taken out. It was precancerous. It was the size of a tennis ball. I really wanted to see a picture, but he didn't take one. I thought I'd be really cool post-surgery to look at it. I wouldn't want to see it prior. But I know for me, I have no doubt it was related to not speaking my truth, not standing up for myself, not articulating that. And so that was one of the main things, truly, because I knew about this growth and was going to have to get dealt with because of COVID, everything got pushed back. And I thought, I don't want my other thyroid doing this. I don't want the entire thyroid out. So I'm going to stand up for myself. That was truly part of my major motivation. So think about different parts in your body or maybe what you're going through now. And how has that related to what hasn't healed? Are you always comparing yourself? How are you not honoring yourself? Do you spend time gossiping? Would you like to share your gifts with the world? Get control of your clutter so your clutter doesn't control you. Reclaim time, money, sanity, and resources. Spiritual Got Clutter 365 journal prompt supports you in clearing your spiritual clutter. Free gift with purchase to support you even more in your journey to declutter your life. How to heal. First, just mention, recognize what's preventing you from healing and be gentle with yourself. Be like the archaeologist or researcher, completely neutral. As I mentioned at the end there, when we're talking about dis-ease and repressed emotion, take a moment. How does the feeling show up in your body? You know, I talk a lot, I hold a lot in my stomach, and that's our power center. Right? When I'm not feeling very powerful, it kind of gets there in the tummy. So where, you know, close your eyes, sit quietly. Where are you feeling something? And remember, we don't have to analyze a story. We don't have to where it comes from. You can, but you can bypass that if you don't want to. Now, what I like to do then, closing my eyes, try to get into a meditative state and ask this body part, what are you feeling? You know, my thyroid expressed, I haven't allowed me to speak my truth for so long. I need to express what I'm feeling. I need to express my pain. I need to acknowledge the truth of what happened. So have a dialogue and just sit quietly. Again, if you can do some visualization to get there or simply closing your eyes, ask the wisdom of your higher self. I like to ground. I like to get centered. See what the body part has to say to you. And then ask it, what do you need to heal? Need to talk, scream, punch? Do you need a massage? Do you need your back cracked? Do you need a chiropractor to release all the tension that your body's holding? What does your body need? You know, our body is wise. It's part of our wisdom. It's completely connected to our higher self, our wisdom. You know, when I was calling for the chiropractor, I found this guy, he's like 10 minutes away, and he had like a gazillion really great reviews on Google. And I called and they said, oh, he's going to have x-rays and cost all this money because you haven't met your doctor. I was like, oh, well, let me call around. I called one other place and they're like, ah, we don't accept insurance. And I just said, stop, Julie. Centered myself for a moment. And it was like, just trust that they're doing x-rays. Because in the past, chiropractors have never taken x-rays of me. So I was like, okay, just go to this guy and get the x-rays done. So I found out that, and it's probably my friend of mine who I used to play ice hockey with growing up, listens to the podcast. So get your x-rays done. So anyway, they x-rayed my neck and back and discovered, I can't think of anything else where, and he said, yeah, it was probably from a long time ago. So one of the vertebrae is, there's not a lot of cushion there on my neck. And I'm telling you, the last thing I want is neck surgery. So I was like, okay, you don't need to tell me once. Had I not done that, and a couple other areas of concern in the back. So it's like, let's get this straightened out. Let's start feeling good. Let's do it. And I had that pain in the hip, which just forced me to do it. So when I sat quietly, the body's like, go do this. Whether you think it's my body, my higher self, whatever. And I followed that wisdom. So once your body tells you what it needs to do to heal, follow it. You know, I didn't question it. I said, they took me an hour later. I was able to, bam, get in there, get an appointment, got another one today and going to fit it in. So that's part of the key, because sometimes we'll hear those intuitive hits, but then we don't follow through. And I followed through on stuff that makes zero sense. And sometimes I've done things and nothing's happened. But to me, that's just saying, okay, I'm going to listen to your wisdom. I'm going to move forward on this. Just honor that and move forward. Now, I'm going to encourage you then to spend some time journaling and ask yourself how you've benefited from staying stuck. You know, one of the ways I would have benefited is that I wouldn't have anyone angry at me, right? If I don't stand up. You know, I think I shared that other day, the woman who came to the trial with us was like, we want you to do another community meeting, because now that her husband's joined the board, he's not talking to neighbor about board issues. And so they want to do a runaround and kind of, and I'm like, no. And it's sad that you're afraid of getting him in trouble. You need to stand up for yourself. I can't do that for you. And so I benefited from no confrontation, I can be that people pleaser, not having anyone angry with me, but things didn't feel right. So I had that yucky feeling. So then when you figure out how you've benefited, what does it cost you to stay stuck? So for me, this isn't right. You just don't know. You just don't do that to people. You don't say yes to some and no to others. That's just not fair. And Dan, charge for it? No, heck no. So you have to ask yourself, what does it cost you to stay stuck? For me, not speaking my truth, not standing up for myself and others and suppressing that. Well, I would argue that it turned into a precancerous tennis ball in my throat. So figure out how you've benefited, and you benefit. Don't think, oh, I have a benefit. You absolutely have. You wouldn't continue to not heal if you didn't receive some benefit from it. True for any of our behaviors. And then what's it cost you? Not doing anything, staying stuck. I like to have a dialogue around this. Again, dialoguing with my body to have a deeper conversation. There's something called automatic writing that might help. Journaling is what I like to do. And again, being in a quiet space, getting grounded to make sure we're not hearing from the ego. And I've had to say to my ego, stand down. Because when your voice, you're kind of like, that's probably coming from your ego. My higher self, my sovereign self, it has a completely different feel. It just is, again, that supportiveness. It's not that it's going to say, hey, you know, wake up, we need to do this. But it has a much different feeling. So I encourage you, it's kind of like tapping into your intuition, your gut feeling, continue, and not on something huge. Start that dialogue. Like, what would my body like to eat today? You know, maybe there are days you do need that bowl of mac and cheese just because your body's craving something, and other days it wants salad. So do little things to start opening up that dialogue. Maybe you want to do an affirmation. Ask your soul what it needs. It's probably different than what the ego would jump in and say, oh, go eat a candy bar. That'll soothe you. That's what my ego tells me all the time. So after you've had a dialogue, who can support you? Who's going to be your team that can help you out? And then ask yourself, I like to, if I'm able, immediately take one step. For me, okay, calling a chiropractor, calling a couple chiropractors, then another step of making the appointment and then making the other thing. There's one that take that first step if you're able to, right after having the dialogue and learning a little bit more about what you need. Release your past. You can't change it. I've tried, trust me. And release the story around it. I've talked a lot about that. We can sometimes get stuck in the story. The older I've gotten, the more healing I do. I don't have the need to know why it happened. Whatever it happened. I don't want to waste any more time. I want to heal. I want to be able to move forward. So if you can, because those can just serve as distraction. When I'm in the past worrying about trying to change it, I can't heal and move forward. The same with the story. Well, if I get caught up and go that downward spiral, I'm not going to be able to move forward. And as I've mentioned, I think before, stop seeing everything as a mistake. I talk about divine timing, trust that I had to find the right healer to help me move forward, and that's really important. I don't see it. I see it as lessons learned. I am not a mistake. I was created from divine energy. No way was I a mistake. You're not a mistake. No one is a mistake. We're all in this together, and we all have lessons to learn. Also encourage you, part of healing, ask how your challenges have made you stronger, more ready to speak up for myself and not put up with BS and say, no, that's not okay. And you can stand up in a kind way and a firm way. You don't have to be like, oh, no, no. You say, hey, you know what? This isn't okay. I've been thinking about karma and karma dolls for some people in the neighborhood and having a funny conversation with my husband around it. And the more I thought about it, I thought, you know what? They've already have their karma because of who they are and how they're living their lives. Like the president of the board, like really, you have to peek out every time your neighbor has a conversation with someone. You send your husband out to monitor and try to hear the conversation. You feel so unempowered in your life. Think about all the energy that takes up. Or the other woman who's harassing us in the neighborhood, really on Christmas at 12:15 in the morning on Christmas, you're gonna drive around to try to intimidate us and be in front of our house really on Christmas and you have kids? Ew. I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be the busybody of the neighborhood. Ooh. Reality, she doesn't know how many people have her number and think highly. It's just they don't care. But I would just say to you, you know, that's how people not caring, that's how Nazism was able to rise in Germany because people didn't care. Well, it's not happening to me, so I'm not going to worry about it. And think all of us, whatever cause you believe in, it's the age of Aquarius, the power of people. Now is the time to stand up. So ask how your challenges have made you stronger. This is just one little example, something you can do on your own. I believe in getting support, but you have to do the work. And so this, like the little dialogue and going through all the steps, this is just one way that you can support yourself to heal. What are different ways to heal? Now, this is something to have fun with. There are so many amazing things out there, and I'm going to share some, and I've tried some. Sound healing, phenomenal. I mean, I think I've shared before, he did one side and had me feel it, and then did the other. It was one side, I could feel everything is energy. Boy, that explained it better than any textbook could. And the other side felt like lead. And this was when I was pretty thin. It was phenomenal. Craniosacral I've done, which is awesome. Somatic healing, sand play, EFT, which I believe stands for emotional freedom technique. There's also EMDR, which is eye motion something, I'm not sure, but EFT, EMDR, yoga, coaching, therapy, acupuncture, Ayurveda. I love Ayurveda. They have all these things with pitta, vata, and kapha. Fascinating. Homeopathy, massage, aromatherapy, Reiki, got to include plant medicine. That's what I'm studying now. And I have a real connection with the plants. And I was doing a meditation. It's one of the things we have tea and we part of the courses you've got to share. And so I share the minimum of 3 tea meditations because it takes me out of my element. So what I do now is have a recorder so that when I meditate, I can just, and then I transcribe it. Anyway, so I did it last week with Sage, and Sage was like, girl, you knew that house wasn't right for you. No trees. Who are you kidding? You need trees around you. And I thought, she's right. She's absolutely right. So plant medicine, cupping, which I've done before, which is pretty cool. Chiropractic, moxibustion, which I'm trying on my own because I did not realize that moxibustion is from mugwort, which is a plant that I have. Reflexology, magnets, Rolfing I've done before, visualization, breath work, Tai Chi, a bunch of stuff. This is the thing to get excited about. Oh, what cool groovy thing do I want to try? It's also intentional alone time, sitting with your eyes closed for 10 minutes, hanging out in nature, enjoying a cup of tea or coffee, looking at the trees. That's in our backyard. Hiking. It's why my husband and I hike. I think being in nature for me, like tree bathing that people do, being in nature for me soothes my soul. Swimming can be healing. Canoeing, dancing, horseback riding, especially if you're an animal person, connecting with the horse, dancing, a good conversation with your BFF, driving through the mountains or driving by a lake with the top down, taking a bubble bath. That is my nightly healing ritual. Walking on the beach, playing with your pets. Anything that helps make you laugh, smile, or brings you peace is healing. So it doesn't have to be all those things I mentioned before. But the other things that are free, driving around your car, okay, well, technically you have gas. But you know what I'm saying? Snuggling with the pets, whatever it is. There are lots of free options out there. Journaling that can get you started. If you're like, you know what? I don't have enough money right now to see someone. But you can begin your healing journey right now. Take actions from today's podcast. Recognize how fear has created clutter in your life. Ask yourself why you shied away from healing. Be aware of what you're feeling it and where you're feeling it. Have a conversation with your body and ask what it needs to heal. Find support. Release the past, your stories, and that you've been making mistakes. Understand how your challenges have made you stronger. Write down all the healing modalities you're interested in trying. Do more of what makes you laugh, smile, or brings you peace. Begin healing. Next month, we're talking about areas that might get you stuck. Go out, clear your clutter to create the life you choose, deserve, and desire. When you clear your clutter, you can share your gifts with the world. Sign up for our free newsletter at reawakenyourbrilliance.com. You've enjoyed Clear Your Clutter Inside and Out. Please rate, review, and share us.